Hey guys, we're back. It's been a few weeks, and guess who else is back? Jessica Jones. I'll tell you what, Ashley Chaney next is going to break it all down for you. Netflix picks.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I feel like there should be a
after is like some time of like not hearing this song. It's like it's great just to see it again.
Yes. Yeah. Hear it. Yeah. Hear
see it. See it again. See it again.
No, and hear it. And
yeah.
Hear it.
Yeah.
Experience it.
Hey guys, welcome back. You're watching Netflix Picks. Obviously, we're talking about Jessica Jones. I'm Rick Hong, and I'm joined by my panel. I've got Steve Kaufman.
I am, in fact, here.
With two N's. And we've got the lovely Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi.
And to my left, we got Ashley No Ashley Chaney this week. It was a tease. But she will be back, and she always knows I like to, like, razz on her, so...
What did she say? What superlative did she use on what movie to get her ousted on a one week suspension? Are we trying to remember?
What?
Yes. You know what it was? This is what it was, man. She loved Call Me By Your Name so much. And I was telling her, I remember that, man. I was like, those are the hours of my life that I cannot get back. And so I said, hey, you know what? Get out of here, check now. She's traveling the world, so we'll hear all about it when
she's
she gets
doing
back.
Some stuff.
She's doing some really cool stuff.
Have you guys seen her Insta stories?
Every time I'm on her Insta stories, I'm like, I text her. I'm just like, you live a better life than me.
I do really cool stuff.
It's really cool if you haven't seen her Insta stories.
Nah, man, I look at her Insta stories and I say delete. You know, it's like scroll past it because I'm trying to find Amy Cassandra Martinez's Insta stories.
Oh, you know? Please, you can't delete Insta stories from other people. What are you talking about, Willis?
So we won't talk about it for too long because there is the after show. And Amy, when can people find, or it's already online, right? You guys already covered?
Yes, we've covered episodes 1 through 6. They have been 2 separate episodes already, so first 3 and then the other 3. Mm-hmm. And tonight at 10 Pacific time, we'll be covering episodes 7, 8, and 9. There are only, I believe, 12 right?
Yeah.
Episodes. So we're almost done, and it's been very fun. But yeah, we're taking our time with it because we feel like if we talk about 3 episodes at a time, we can talk
about
it enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without rushing.
Yeah. No, and that's great. So that's great that, so like, guys, I mean, I've watched the first 2 episodes, and Jessica Jones is probably in the Netflix series my favorite of the Marvel superheroes. I guess, or Heroes for Hire, or Defenders, or whatever you want to call them. I'm sorry, Heroes for Hire, I guess, is Luke Cage and Iron Fist, but the Defenders, she's like my favorite, so I was very happy to see it. And the first episode and second episode have not disappointed yet, and I know that it's going to get even better. Steve?
I've seen the first 2 episodes so far. I've really enjoyed it. I think they're picking up the same pace that they set from the first season. To correct you, I think the best of the Defenders is Luke Cage.
Luke Cage is very good. I'll tell you what, man. Luke Cage is a close second for me. I won't even argue that. When Luke Cage drops season 2, then let's have the conversation and see how things go.
I think that's also... I also think these Marvel Netflix shows are having a problem of losing steam in a second season.
That's a lot of shows.
A part of me wishes... that maybe they didn't. Maybe they just did Defenders, and then like not everyone got a second season until the next Defenders.
I do want to jump in. Sorry, guys. It is 13 episodes, so I don't totally know how we're gonna cover that.
4 at the end, probably.
Yeah, just 4 at the end.
4 at the end. We might do
or
an
just
extra
one finale. Yeah,
one, and then we'll just like recap the whole.
Yeah, season. As a whole. Yeah.
I want to know what you guys think though at the end of the season because stuff goes down. I'm not gonna spoil it for you all. But I don't know. You might change your mind.
Okay, and then Amy, who's on that panel with you?
Zach Wilson. Yes, Jessie Klein. Emma Fyfe was with us for the first one. I'm not totally sure if she'll be back. She has a very busy schedule. But yeah, just stay tuned. You never know. She might be back. But and me.
Yeah, I guess. So we're not going to talk about it too much. We're not going to talk about it too much. Or like maybe after Steve and I actually get through the whole thing, we'll talk about it a little bit more. But we definitely need to have the after show for Jessica Jones get covered first. And so you guys can always chime in and watch in Cassandra, especially in a couple hours, too, if you're 10, just hanging out.
And again, 13 episodes. I don't know why. I kept thinking it was 12. They're just... They just speed by.
And they also keep pushing the number.
You don't even know, guys.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Daredevil season one was 10. Was 10 episodes. Like, Netflix in general seems to be pushing the number of their seasons from... or their episodes in a season from 10 to like 13 to 15.
And I think,
like,
and
like
the way that
they're eventually just going to be at 22, like everything else.
But I feel like that's a bad thing. I actually feel like they should shrink it like HBO does. Where you just have solid storytelling. There's nothing that drags out, or they don't feel like they have to fill it. And I mean, at the same time, and if I was a writer on one of those shows, obviously I would want more episodes because that means more money. But just for story's sake and for fan's sake, I would rather have like a solid 8-10 episodes, and that's about it for like one season.
And I'm wrong. Daredevil season one was 13 episodes.
Yeah,
so that's kind of they've already kind of laid into that.
Daredevil was so good.
Even though the Defenders was 8.
Really?
You know, I did that one.
They did that one really fast, which was great. That was, and that's what I liked about that one. It was fast. It was like 8 episodes and then done.
They leave you wanting more, that's for sure. But that's everything with Marvel for me, at least.
I mean, Iron Fist. Yes. Iron Fist, I could have used about 6. Four episodes.
I feel like I've had this rant on this panel before, so I'm not going to get too much into it. I made it midway through Iron Fist before Googling the Defenders, to which it said on the Defenders gather together to fight the Hand. And I'm watching Iron Fist, and spoilers, by episode 6, he hasn't defeated the Hand.
Well, then there's only one scene.
They have to defeat the Hand in the Defenders, and I'm like, well, what am I even doing?
And yeah, there's only one scene in episode 7 of Iron Fist with Louis Tan. That's the only thing actually worth watching in that series. So I'd almost even tell you
You can send me the YouTube.
Yeah.
You can send me the link on YouTube.
I've interviewed Louis, too. I've interviewed him here at AfterBuzz, and so that was a lot of fun, and he's going to be a huge star soon, if he isn't already. But, okay, well, let's move on. So, Steve, you and I both watched Ricky Gervais' Humanity.
Yes.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Not the whole thing.
I watched the whole thing. And I mean, granted, I watched it in pieces because it's stand-up comedy. So you don't like, you know, so there's like, you know, they'll move on from one subject to another subject. So you don't have to feel like you need to watch it all in one sitting if you don't want to. Hence why you said that you haven't. But I loved it.
I loved it, too. I like everything that guy does. He, I don't know if you can gather, but he's someone I'm compared to quite a bit.
Ricky Gervais?
I don't know. Just I have the look. I have the look, and like I don't know.
I can see it.
Guys with beards need to stick together.
I know you guys should form a club.
Form a club.
That just basically means I need to drink a lot more alcohol before I get on this thing to even like say, oh yeah, I see it.
I mean, well, like look at the camera. I mean,
she having a laugh.
Yeah, maybe.
He's having a laugh. She's having a laugh. Everyone is having a laugh. Right. Let me know in the comments.
Oh, I didn't know what you were saying. No, there.
Because you know why? It's because he sounds like a leprechaun there. That's why. Ah, me lucky charms, me gold. That's why. But no, I enjoyed it. I mean, it's funny because he actually says on there that he hadn't done stand-up in about 7 years. Wow. And the only time that we've seen him are on the Golden Globes is why it intrigued me to watch him, because us as hosts, to see a guy that's like normally, I mean, he is a comedian, but he's known more as like writing his own like shows.
But also he's not a Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock style comedian in the sense where he like cuts his teeth at the clubs every night.
Yep.
Like he's very much a performance based storytelling comedian where he'll put together a show and he's essentially a performer who does one man shows. So to even, like, he's a comedian in the sense that in his one-man show he plays a comedian, but he's not a comedian in the sense that you'll see him at the Laugh Factory in front of 12 people.
Exactly. And, I mean, I'll say that I really, really liked it. It's very un-PC.
Of course.
It's very un-PC, but he also talks about that. It's saying, like, you know, it's just about having a good laugh, and it's why he tackles the certain subjects that he does tackle, so... You know, so it's not like he's just talking about the stuff just to be a jerk. He talks about it, but it's just like, come on, we all have like these like funny things that we want to say about whatever subjects, and it's all about just it's called Humanity. Mm-hmm. It's about humanity just kind of needing just take a break from being serious for a moment.
I agree with the sentiment too. That's like we all, and I also it's something I've noticed recently that people always like to rally around a thing, and like. It, even if it's like, oh, you're offending that person, and then a bunch of people who aren't that person rally around and be like, you're offending that person, and then that person tries to speak up, and like, no, you don't get to speak. We're deciding you're offended.
Yeah, I mean, it's something he talks about in there. Is he, you know, he loves to engage trolls.
Which, good for him.
Yeah, that's he loves to engage roles, and he like he even goes on stage and, yeah, and he talks about it's like, you know, they said something, and it's like, and I shouldn't, but I will, and he engages, and that's pretty funny on its own, right? Mm. And I can only imagine it's like how he might be actually at home like reading some of these things if he actually laughs at it or if he actually starts getting angry.
I would wonder too. I always found him to be a very thoughtful person, that I feel like there'd be either he would see it all as a game on his screen, or he'd actually get really upset at a bunch of the stuff.
So
there's no in between, though.
I mean, I'm trying to think of when I first found out that I did like Ricky Gervais. Did you guys ever see, was it The Invention of Lying?
The Invention of Lying is a good one.
I'll tell you what, I was never, I even think to this day, because I don't know, it's the delivery or it's the style, but I couldn't really get into the British Office.
Oh no, I know not.
Yeah,
not
but
that,
the American Office. Yes, it took me a bit. Like it took me a couple times before, but like absolutely, yeah. And then like you're sucked into the American Office. Love it. They're hopefully going to do a reboot, which I'm fine with more than Will and Grace and Roseanne and Murphy Brown. I do not know why we need those things.
Well, none of those are reboots. I'd be okay with a reboot of Murphy Brown, where they just recast Murphy Brown and we're like, it's Murphy Brown.
That's true.
But
it's not a reboot. Yeah.
It's 2018.
It's a revisit. Yeah, right. It's continuation.
A revival, which.
Revival. There we go.
To be fair, I also think we need to. We all do need to calm our horses about revivals, because that's not new. How many times did Lucy come back? Like, how many times. After Lucy did the show, like, how many times did Lucy and Ricardo
and
just come back?
They still play her black
Lucy's
and white.
It's a whole different story.
It's the
She's
same thing.
She's amazing.
But we'll be saying.
I'm a huge Lucy fan.
We'll be saying that about Roseanne in 20 years. So it's. But it's the same business.
Oh,
you
her.
Did
no, Lucy. No.
You did
oh, man.
Not,
that's
no.
blasphemy, man. No. That's blasphemy.
All I'm saying is that revivals and revisiting, this is a tried and true gimmick that television will never stop doing. That we all need to stop being upset that Roseanne's coming back, for the only reason that if you tweet about Roseanne trends, and then more people are talking about and ultimately watching the Roseanne reboot. If you really think it's a problem, don't talk about it.
Hey, I'm just glad the Roseanne reboot is not on Netflix.
Or sorry,
I don't even have to see it.
You made me do it. It's the revival. I would watch a Roseanne reboot with Melissa
McCarthy. I
wouldn't
watch a reboot, but keep going. Go ahead, Amy.
I think we just want good television. So if that means we get reboots, revivals, re-whatevers, or we just have new content, as long as it's freaking good, I think that's all we want.
So for me, I'll say where I did catch the Ricky Gervais train a little bit is I watched a movie, and I don't think that it's on Netflix, but it was called Ghost Town. And I think he's in it, like Jennifer Garner's in it.
Oh, I love Jennifer Garner.
But
that's not Ghost of Girlfriends Past?
No. I know. There's that movie,
okay,
too.
Different
but
one,
Ghost,
different
but
one.
Ghost Town is what kind of caught me, and I was just like, oh, he actually has something. I kind of understand the Ricky Gervais thing. So
I was on his train for the British Office, but he also had a series. He also had a series on HBO called Extras that's just so good.
I need to watch that.
That series is amazing.
I need to watch that, actually. I totally forgot about that.
But that's where I got on the Ricky Gervais train. I believe that's 2 seasons and a Christmas special. I'm pretty sure that's 2 seasons and a Christmas special. Yeah, and that's about it. I'm trying to think if there was. I was going to mention the Warwick Davis one he did on HBO, but that one wasn't very good.
So anyway, Ricky Gervais, Humanity, check it out. I'm going to switch gears here for a second and talk about our fearless leader. I mean, there is Kevin Undergaro, but our very one and only Maria Menounos. Woo! So if you want to have fun and you want to learn and grow in all areas of your life, and for those who do, we've got the podcast for you, Conversations with Maria Menounos. Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversation with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was Netflix Picks who got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. Please check it out. I've actually had the pleasure of being on her show, and it's great. You know, she definitely does cover all aspects, especially, you know, you guys probably know about her. And we all here know mm-hmm. about her health scare like last year. And mm-hmm. man, I'll tell you what, in person, dude, she's beautiful. She's beautiful and she's strong. And that's really like just empowered her to like just talk about like all these other subjects, especially about health. So if you want to change my pace of like after shows and just want to just hear like about more real life, then
conversations.
Yeah, conversation with Maria. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Ah, very own Amy Cassandra Rentes. With that, Amy, you were at the On My Block red carpet.
I was. Yes, that was fun. That was also my first time at the Netflix headquarters.
Yeah, I want to hear all about this.
So I walked in, tried to compose myself.
Did you see Jim Rash at the coffee bar with Alison Brie? Were they there serving coffee?
No, right? If only.
If you guys watch the Joel McHale pilot of his talk show, mm-hmm. like there's some cameos in there. But go ahead.
If you guys ever find yourself in that position, take lots of pictures. Because as soon as you walk in, they show their Emmys on the left.
Well, the thing about Netflix, though, is they should be, like, calling us in every week anyways because we promote everything that they do, so.
Right, if only. I wish. That'd be great. But there's also an Oscar on the right. So I just casually walked in and I was like, okay, where is everything? You know, when you go to red carpet, first thing you got to spot is the red carpet to see if you're in the right spot. So I saw it, but on my way there, yeah, there's the Oscar, all of the Emmys, and it was gorgeous. And they had a nice little coffee area, and then the carpet was very nice, kind of small, cozy, but everyone was super friendly, and they had this huge poster on, I think it was like the parking structure of the Santa Clarita Diet. So
yeah, season 2 is dropping.
Yeah, so I was like, well, there's Drew Barrymore. Hi. Obviously not for real. But yeah, it was really cool. It was fun. I wish that we could all go together and be like, we're at Netflix.
How was talking to the cast of On My Block?
Oh my gosh, they were so much fun. They were so sweet, so excited. I mean, you know, when you go to so many red carpets and you talk to so many people, after a while, it's just like, it was good. We had so much fun. But these people literally, like, they were a family and they were talking about how most of them shared an Airbnb. So, yeah, how crazy, right?
They didn't want to kill each other? Like, sometimes when you work with people.
They didn't.
Wow.
I know. A lot of people were like, no, it was so cool. So we would finish filming and then we'd go back home, like, to our place and we'd just hang out. So I was like, it's like sleepovers all the time.
Unless there's a beach there. I mean, otherwise.
They filmed here.
No, see, I would be like, put me up in a 5-star. You know, I need a suite. Right. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
I did ask them because the tagline for the show is "In Squad We Trust." I asked them, you know, if they could make up their own squad of celebrities to be part of, what would it be? You know, who would they ask? And they love that question. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of made me think about us and like, who would we want to have as part of our squad? Because obviously On My Block is very much about being together and like all the kids on your block.
I'm still trying to find the people on my squad for Netflix picks, but you know.
Wow.
No. But hey, guys. But here's the deal. If you guys go online and you search Amy Cassandra Martinez and you mm-hmm. search On My Block red carpet, you'll find her there with all the interviews with the cast. Yeah. Did you watch the pilot?
Not yet. Okay. No, it's just been Jessica Jones, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. mode. Like, I literally, that and then movies in movie theaters.
Yeah. So I watched the pilot and. It's a good pilot. It's not quite for me because I don't think I'm like necessarily the demographic, but it's that kind of storytelling is definitely needed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a primarily like Latino cast, and I mean, and some really good characters and storytelling. It's just there's so much on there. It's not necessarily my demographic, but I guess if you were around me about like 10 years, maybe like that would be something I would be more in tune to. And you're also talking to the guy that didn't really enjoy Everything Sucks All the Way either. So that's if that gives you an idea of kind of like my taste or where I'm at with stuff. And yeah. I'll still get through Everything Sucks.
Yeah.
But
I do want to give a little shout out to Black Jones in our chat that says, I loved it. On My Block felt like a 2000s, 90s Disney Channel teen Nick show with no filters, which I loved. While talking to the cast, they did share that it really goes into what it's like living around, you know, Hispanic cultures. Even if you're not in Mexico.
I want to say there's a little bit for, I don't know, some people may not know this, but it's a little bit of Wonder Years in it. Wonder Years. This is a great show. Back in the day, yeah, Fred Savage is in it, and
Ben does Corey.
But it has like that group of friendships coming of age, growing up in a certain neighborhood in a certain time period. So I totally understand Black Jones what you're saying.
See, well, and the other thing is that I also really like asking people, especially for Netflix shows, like, what do you guys recommend people eat while watching the show? And a lot of them were like, oh, and they just started like naming all these like Mexican dishes and like
Puerto Rican. Dígame.
Okay. Like enchiladas.
Enchiladas, okay.
Some said chips and salsa, but someone said no. Or even to guac because of the sound that, you know, like when you're eating chips and salsa.
It's loud. That's why I don't like going to movie theater. Like when people are sitting there like eating their popcorn. It's like, I like movie theater to be quiet.
Oh, no pressure. other things that I'm not familiar with, like, I don't know, dishes that I don't know because I'm not Puerto Rican.
Oh,
but
really?
Yeah, so I was like, ooh, that sounds really yummy.
And
but
see,
I know
that's
that
why you guys should go tag her on YouTube and find it so you can figure out what you should be eating.
It was fun. Like, those were some of the most fun answers to questions I've asked. Because, I mean, some people will say popcorn. I'm like, no, that's cool, but like, with what? Or like, what do you recommend? Oh, even
or like, what's your thing? Yeah, yeah. I mean, popcorn's everybody's general, like whatever.
It's a go-to. Like, what's specific? Someone, I think, even said... cucumbers with tahin.
Mm. Really? That's healthy.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, tahin
ish.
Is...
Ish. I mean...
But that's a
cucumber.
Vegetable.
Yeah.
Cucumber is a vegetable. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, it was really fun. And certain little things, like, if you watching know what I'm talking about, Muñequita Linda, apparently they play it. And as soon as one of the guys said it, I was like, what? That just... Woo! Brought me back to being 6 years old all over again. So I appreciate things like that.
Oh, nice. Well, during this 2-week hiatus, something that popped up, and I've been a fan since season one, Judd Apatow produced, is Love. The show Love, and I loved season one. Season two. And season three, it was the final season. They had to wrap it up. And so I don't quite know... if I love it, there's one really, 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 really good episode that actually doesn't even pertain to the main characters that I really enjoyed. But, I mean, it's worth checking out and watching. So if you liked, I mean, I know some, you know, like you were talking about how some people die in a certain season in terms of, I really like season one.
Yeah.
But in season two, whatever. If you liked it past season two, then yeah, you should watch season three because it's the final season. You don't have to worry about it anymore. It's a quick, easy watch. I like the characters. And if you like Judd Apatow... You know, he's in it. He produced it with Paul Rust, and his youngest daughter is in it, who's been in this like since season. Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of crazy, because I thought she was actually the older daughter until I went back and looked on IMDb, and I was like, what? She's the younger daughter? She's like the little baby daughter from Knocked Up? I was like, wow.
Wait, does that mean the older daughter is just like over this whole industry?
No. She acts too, and she was she was in Girls, and she's going to be in something else. But that I just for some reason, you know.
Part of me hopes that for a lot of child actors or people who grew up in the industry, that the last thing I ever want to do is be in the industry.
What?
Like we were talking about the Savages, Ben Savage, who was Corey Matthews, up until they did the reboot,
right?
Up until they did Girl Meets World, like he got his degree in political science and was an aide to Orrin Hatch. No, probably not Orrin Hatch, but he was an aide to a Republican. A Pennsylvania Republican. Somebody in the chat will correct me, or in the comments will correct me. But like, I like the idea of sometimes people they spent their childhood acting and then they spent their adulthood doing something else.
Well, I like that some people can, like, you know, obviously they might go a different way, but I like it also when people go to a really nice school and also act because it's like, dang.
Well, I mean, Fred Savage graduated from Stanford.
See?
And then he was, you know, he wanted to direct, or he was doing stuff with like Always Sunny. Mm-hmm. And so on occasion, yeah, he acts, and you know, he tried out to be Kelly Ripa's co-host.
Yeah, Fred Savage is mainly.
And he's really pushing for it. You could tell on the show that he was really trying to like,
yeah,
I want this job, or yes, I want to be this
guy.
But
like, you can't force that. That's something you are or you aren't. I think Fred Savage has done a good job of he's a pretty well-established TV director.
I mean, he's taken a note from Ron Howard, who... Amy Cassandra Martinez is also interviewed, and Ron Howard actually tells you what sound a Wookiee makes, or what it's like to
work. What it's like to work with a Wookiee.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she was so nice.
And then, I don't know how much you guys like Jared Leto, but there is a movie that dropped on Netflix called The Outsider, And it's all about him back in the time of, like, I think it's just after, like, the World War II and, like, the Japanese and, or, like, even, yeah, but, like, basically after Pearl Harbor. It's right, okay. It's a time period right after Pearl Harbor, and he's a white guy in Japan. So, and then he gets himself involved with the Yakuza.
As one does. He's an American in Japan.
Yes.
Okay.
And at that time, they're not. I mean, it's like Japan is very, very foreign.
Oh, Japan's at war. Yes.
And there's animosity. And he's in Osaka, but it's not. It's unfortunate because I really like Jared Leto. I really like these kind of cool movies about the Yakuza. And there's another movies from like the 70s with like Robert Mitchum that covers this a little bit better. There's nothing really that. You know, it's slow, it unfolds, and I was like, okay, cool, but it doesn't really build up to anything, and even the ending is kind of lackluster. So if you guys are just kind of curious or whatever, but you don't have a big desire, then I would say just pass on it, because you're going to be very disappointed by the ending. I'm okay with a story like this, but there are many other stories that tell this type of a story, so you don't have to watch this one per se. Otherwise, you might be yelling at me like I yell at Ashley Chaney about Call Me By Your Name and saying, I want 2 hours of my life back.
It was way more than 2 hours. No, hey, it was different.
That movie was a lot. I actually really enjoyed it, but it was.
Good. Call Me By Your Name?
Yeah. Well, but it was, in fact, like a lot, though.
Interesting.
Like, time-wise, it was long.
Just a lot of your life.
A lot of minutes.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, like, I was multitasking, like we all do, but also, when we're watching. Also, Amy, you actually don't multitask. When you sit down to watch something, you're actually, like, just, you sit there and watch it. I mean, there's certain movies where I won't do that. Like, this one, The Outsider, I wasn't multitasking because I wanted to see what was going on with it, but... Yeah. Other movies, like Call Me By Your Name, yeah. I was on my computer, and I knew to already have it on in the background, but I was still like, man, that's something else I could have been watching.
You know, this kind of touching on The Outsider, there's actually a book coming out end of May by Stephen King called The Outsider. It's not about that.
At all. I mean, that's a pretty vague title.
But yeah, so it sounds good, so... Also, in case you like the title of The Outsider.
Netflix, I have a bone to pick with you. You're forgetting Sarah Marshall. On Netflix, but you do not have Get Him to the Greek. Get it together, Netflix. That's all I got.
Oh, no, but actually what's funny is, speaking of movies that connect, those two movies obviously connect, is I watched Mute.
Yes.
Mm.
And unfortunately, so Mute is done by Duncan Jones, who is the son of David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, fun fact is that David Bowie is David Jones, but since they had the Monkees, Davy Jones. And you know, Davy Jones locker, there's like that whole thing.
Yeah,
he referred to himself as David Bowie because of the Bowie knife. And so Duncan was born Duncan Zoe Jones or Zoe Bowie. And he went by Zoe for a long time.
That's awesome.
But then as he turned into a director, he called himself Duncan Jones. So his first movie, which... Funnily enough, Mute landed open first, and the first movie that he ever did, which was genius, with Academy Award winner Sam Rockwell, is called Moon. And that one I absolutely recommend. It is a great, 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 great movie. And so Mute is like David Duncan Jones's third movie, and it was very disappointing.
Really?
What was missing from it?
You know what? It's not Mute. It's...
No, it is.
No, it's no. It's not Mute. It is Mute. It's with Paul.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah, Skarsgård, and then Paul Rudd, and
Yeah.
You were on the right. Don't second guess yourself. You're there.
Yeah, yeah. No. So Mute, very much like, the world is awesome. It's almost like Blade Runner 2049, where visually it looks really cool, but same thing. It's almost like The Outsider, where just a lot of kind of just like you follow these characters. And then they finally kind of meet up, but it's the same thing. It's just kind of just lackluster.
Dang it.
Yeah, it builds up to this thing, and Moon is done so beautifully. Moon builds, and all of a sudden you're like, holy crap! And they actually have this is why you need to watch Mute, unfortunately. And maybe when you get to that point, you can shut it off if you want to. There's actually a throwback of Moon in Mute.
Oh. Mm. I like it when directors do that.
So that part of it, there is a, there's that connection, and that's kind of cool to it. But other than that, so, you know, I have to be mute on mute.
No.
Okay. But Ghost, but Moon, I abs. If there's movies on Netflix, if you like sci-fi, Moon is something abs. And if you like Sam Rockwell and you want to see some genius acting, please Ghost. I mean, pop it into your queue right now. I'll quiz these guys the next couple of weeks to make sure that they watch it.
Okay.
While we're giving picks, I have a really good pick this week. Good. It just dropped on Netflix.
Good pick.
Up in the Air.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful film. George Clooney. This is what made Anna Kendrick a star, if you love Anna Kendrick. And she was nominated for an Oscar for it.
Yep. And this was Jason Reitman's second film?
Yeah.
This was Thank You for Smoking, then this.
Yes.
Jason Reitman, who is really...
Ivan Reitman's son. Yes. Who did all the Bill Murray, like, awesome, like, Ghostbusters.
Also, the only Jason Reitman film on Netflix. So
ridiculous.
Type in Jason Reitman. That's what you got. Up
Vera,
in the air.
But you didn't mention Vera Farmiga.
I was.
She's amazing.
Coming around to Vera Farmiga. Vera Farmiga also on Bates Motel, which I believe is also on Netflix.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yes. Bates Motel landed on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So if you guys like Psycho, then you might. I tried to watch a series, but I knew it was going to go on for a long time, so I couldn't do it.
It was very
but
good.
But it's still. I would say if I had time, there's a lot less things to watch on Netflix or trying to keep you guys up to date. I would probably be tuning into Bates Motel, maybe, but it's something that I don't have a rush and to get to.
Also, Casino and Goodfellas are both on Netflix currently.
So if you like Scorsese,
if you like Scorsese or you've not seen either of those films, you should see either of those films.
And if you haven't, I don't know. There's something wrong.
I actually have a weird opinion on Casino. I thought it was the most mediocre thing Scorsese ever did.
It's not good.
It's really not that great.
It's not that good.
And I haven't gotten to it yet, but I'm going to check out Flint Town this week.
Oh, okay.
I was going to check it out today, but then I realized it's not a documentary. It's a docuseries. It's 10 episodes. So I need a little more time.
And then, Amy, you're trying to get through Jessica Jones right now, so you haven't really...
Yes. Well, I mean, I have watched... a little bit of Ugly Delicious, actually.
Oh, yeah. Here's a little teaser, guys. In 2 weeks, Ashley Cheney will definitely be back. She loves food. She loves travel. That's where she's at right now. And she is going to be covering a lot of these different food shows that are on Netflix. I believe it's going to be in 2 weeks. I'll let you definitely know next week. Next week, we're going to have a guest because the old school movie Benji has been remade for Netflix, and we have one of the stars coming into the studio to talk with us about his experience on working with a dog. I want to see if he ever watched the old school Benji and, you know, seeing how his career is going as a child actor. So he'll be here next week, and it'll probably be primarily be Benji next week. Mm. But Steve, you wanted to a carpet that I might be going to this week is we wanted to show you the trailer for
Oh yes,
Game Over, man, Adam Devine.
I actually didn't watch this trailer yesterday, Friday, because I wanted to watch it here with y'all.
Trailer reaction.
Here we go.
That's what we should be doing. We should be chugging champagne.
We should be wearing diamonds.
The Workaholics guys.
Yeah, the Workaholics guys are in this.
So incredibly original.
It's actually written by Anders Holm.
Mm.
So.
Hey.
Holy shit. The Bay. Even his dog, Will Puma, has 100,000 followers.
Sweep the hotel.
Oh, I love him.
We are locked down, boss. Party's over.
Rona Mitra. Oh, yeah. I love Rona Mitra.
Wait. I think we should turn ourselves in. What's with the pockets?
I'm showing them I'm unarmed.
We can take them.
I need to be watching Workaholics.
Let's do it.
What the?
I mean, this is basically the Three Stooges.
Yeah, but like,
which is great. But not in a bad way.
But they're like so fiercely original. Like, in the writer's room, like,
so now it takes us like the Die Hard esque,
yeah,
like yeah, it's like you're in a hotel and
take the guns and free the hostages.
Well, like,
instead of John McClane, you got Adam Devine,
and like the I'm not supposed to be here because I think
this lady just shit her
pants. Oh, Fred Armisen, you gotta love Fred Armisen.
I did not.
Oh, I love her. She's awesome.
You know, someone did shit their pants.
22 Jump Street.
I'm not gonna say who.
Yeah. 22. She was also in
Girls.
No.
Was it Girls Night?
Rough Night.
She first got her start on screen in Workaholics. She was actually an SNL writer before that. So
wow,
she's just a bad A.
She's amazing.
like comedy people.
Do you think Tom Brady is in the Brady Bunch?
The dad, right?
Oh, dude, love him.
You bring me along because I look like the black nerd from Die Hard. Because I don't.
He's great in Veep.
I like how self-aware they are.
Oh, those guys are so...
That's great.
Because I keep saying fiercely original. It's because I've seen pictures from their writer's room where they have a giant board on the wall of things that are so cliche that will not be on Workaholics.
Yeah, guys.
Like, so, from the writer's room in Workaholics where they were like, your mama jokes, like, that's what she said. Like, and then there were, like, common tropes. That,
is
common
Workaholics tropes that on Netflix?
I don't think so.
I don't think so
MTV,
either.
Because MTV likes... Or Viacom likes to hold on to their
You know
stuff.
What? I think it's on Hulu.
That too.
It's either on Hulu or Amazon, because I think I've seen it, but I was just trying to see if it was on there, because I definitely need to catch up on that before. But yeah, guys, I should. So the premiere here is here in LA on Wednesday. I should be going on behalf of AfterBuzz TV. We'll see if that actually happens. And if it does, I'll report back about it next week and say, and see if I get some interviews from that. So, yeah. But I mean, it looks hilarious. I already hyped up the Adam Devine movie a few weeks ago where it's like Big meets. Back to the Future means the random comedy that actually
I did in fact watch that one.
Did you like it?
I wanted to. I like him. There was a bit.
No, come on, dude. Alexandra Daddario, dude. I mean,
didn't do it.
Oh, she's beautiful.
I need more substance than that, man.
More substance? I can't get more substance than Alexandra Daddario. All right, guys. Well, Amy, where can people find you?
On all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. And my little recommendation for this week, I've talked about it before. If you have not already hopped on the train for Queer Eye, you should. Everyone's loving it. So please do watch it.
And I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. A quick programming note. Next Sunday, the 25th, I will be in Long Beach watching New Japan Pro Wrestling. So there's a good chance I'm not going to be here. And then on April the 1st, I'll be in New Mexico with my girlfriend. And on April the 8th, I'll be in New Orleans for WrestleMania. So,
bro.
Congrats. You caught me here while I'm here. I'll be back on April 15th.
You can stalk him on Twitter. And I'll tell you what, Ashley Cheney will be back here next week. And then you can find her on all social media, or at least, yeah, on all social media, Ashley on camera. And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-A-C-K-H-U-N-G. Thanks for tuning in. Next week, we'll be having our guest come in for the movie Benji. So if you want to watch it this week and kind of get in tune with what our interview is going to be about next week, then do it. So we'll see you here next week, Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you.
Bye. Good stuff.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Game over, man.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.